الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The qualities of Jum'ah. Dua of Attar. O Lord of the Prophet, whoever reads or listens to the 35-page booklet, the qualities of Jum'ah, envelop them in the blessings of Jum'ah. Forgive them, their parents, and their entire family without accountability. Ameen bi jahin nabiyyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellences of reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, whoever recites salat upon me 200 times on the day of Jum'ah, his 200 years of sins will be forgiven. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. O those who love Allah's messenger, Allah has granted us the day of Jum'ah for the sake of his final and most beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We are hugely fortunate to have this immense bounty. Yet, out of negligence, many spend this day as though it is like any other. This should not be the case, as Jum'ah is a day of Eid and Sayyid al-Ayyam, i.e. the chief of all days. In fact, hellfire is not kindled on its day, and the doors of hell do not open on its night. On the day of judgment, Jum'ah will be raised like a bridegroom. The fortunate Muslim who dies on this day is blessed with the rank of a martyr and is saved from punishment in the grave. According to the late Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh, if Hajj takes place on the day of Jum'ah, its reward is equivalent to 70. As for every Jum'ah, the reward for just a single good deed performed in this day is multiplied by 70. Correspondingly, punishment for sins committed on this day is also administered 70-fold. The reason punishment is also increased is due to the sanctity and sensitivity of this day. Words simply cannot describe its virtues, as Allah revealed an entire chapter entitled Surah Al-Jum'ah, which shines bright in the 28th part of the Qur'an. In its 9th verse, Allah declared, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha nudiya lis-salati min yawmil jum'ah. من يوم الجمعة فسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O believers, when the call for Salah is given on the day of Jum'ah, i.e. Friday, so hurry towards the remembrance of Allah and stop buying and selling. This is better for you if you know. When did our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam first offer Jum'ah Salah? The accomplished scholar Sayyid Naimuddin Muradabadi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam made Hijrah to Medina, he took up stay at Qubba. After sunrise on Monday, the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, 622, it is here he resided until the upcoming Thursday, also laying foundations for a masjid in this time. When Jum'ah arrived, he proceeded towards Medina. As he passed through the valley of the Bani Salim bin Auf, time began for Jum'ah Salah, and people built a masjid for this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam offered the first Jum'ah Salah hereupon and also delivered a sermon. Alhamdulillah, Masjid al-Jum'ah remains there until this day. Visitors come from far and wide to gaze lovingly upon it and offer salah inside. Meaning of the word Jum'ah. Mufti Ahmad Yaz Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh writes, Jum'ah draws its name from the fact this was the day in which the clay of Prophet Adam alayhi salam was gathered. And also, when people gather for Jum'ah Salah, before Islam, Arabs used to call it Aruba. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered around 500 Jum'ah Salahs. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayhi elucidates, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered more or less 500 Jum'ah Salahs. The performance of this Salah was initiated after Hijrah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visibly lived for 10 years after this took place. There are 500 Jum'ahs in a 10-year period. A sealed heart. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared, Allah shall place a seal upon the heart of whoever misses 3 Jum'ah Salahs out of laziness. Jum'ah Salah is an emphasized obligation. It is necessary to offer for every sane Muslim male who has reached puberty. Its obligation is more emphatic than that of Zuhr Salah. Anyone who denies its obligation is a disbeliever. Honor of becoming Imam. Dear Islamic brothers, to develop a mindset of reaching the masjid earlier to offer Jum'ah Salah, getting a place in the first row and gaining reward for being part of the first takbir, always stay affiliated with the Islamic environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Before joining Dawat-e-Islami, a young man living in an area close to Falia, Punjab, used to watch dramas and indecent movies. He also listened to all forms of music. One day he developed a backache, yet resorted to drinking alcohol in a misplaced attempt to alleviate his issue. At that time, he also did not know how to offer Salah correctly. Yet his conscience always kicked in, making him regret he did not know how to offer Salah despite being a Muslim. A muballigh of Dawat-e-Islami got a job at the young man's workshop. The imama, full beard and practicing of the sunnah displayed by the former greatly impressed the young man. We found him completely different to other people. Being around the muballigh impacted the life of this young man in ways unimaginable previously, beginning with the former taking him to a masjid for salah. When the month of Ramadan arrived, the muballigh invited the young man to perform itikaf. The latter repented from his sins and even travelled on a 3-day Madini qafila during Eid. During itikaf, the young man accustomed himself to Dawat-e-Islami with heart and soul. He went on to complete a 41-day Madini qafila course. His motivation burgeoning, he travelled with a 12-month Madini qafila as well. He completed a further imam course and became an imam of a masjid himself. Through him, his family members also received immense blessings and a religious environment was established in his home. Alhamdulillah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. The merits of wearing an imama on Jumu'ah. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed Allah and His angels send salat upon those who wear an imama on the day of Jumu'ah. What is meant by Allah and His angels sending salat? The above hadith describes how Allah and His angels send salat upon those who wear an imama on Jumu'ah. This does not mean the usual salat recited by people. In regards to Allah, His sending of salat connotes Him sending mercy upon His servants. As for angels, their sending of salat in this context entails their seeking of forgiveness for whoever wears an imama on Jumu'ah. One Jumu'ah equivalent to 70, as narrated by the companion Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, one Jum'ah with an imama is equivalent to 70 Jum'ahs without bestowment of cure. The companion Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu explained, if a person trims his nails on Jum'ah, Allah removes illness from them and bestows them cure, protection from afflictions for 10 days. Maulana Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi alayhi said, a hadith describes how someone who cuts his nails on Jum'ah shall be protected from calamities until the next Jum'ah, along with 3 more days. This amounts to 10 days of protection. Another narration details how someone who cuts his nails on Jum'ah has mercy descend upon them and their sins erased. Constriction in sustenance. Maulana Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi alayhi also added, it is mustahab I liked to trim nails on Jum'ah. Yet, if they have grown to length, one should not wait to cut them. Lengthy nails can lead to a constriction or decrease in sustenance, i.e. rizq. When angels record people's names, the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam declared, when it is Jum'ah, angels come to the door of the masjid and record whoever arrives in succession, with those arriving first being written first. He who arrives early is like someone who donates a camel in the way of Allah. Those coming next are like he who donates a cow, then a ram, then a chicken and an egg respectively. When the imam sits to deliver his sermon, they, i.e. the angels, close their books and listen to the sermon. Exegesis of this hadith. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayh interprets this hadith as such. Some scholars say these angels come to the doors of the masjid from the very start of Fajr time, while some say from sunrise. The most accurate verdict regarding this explains these angels arriving when the sun begins to decline, i.e. the starting time of Dhuhr prayer, as this is when Jum'ah's Salah timing begins. This highlights the knowledge of these angels, as they are aware of each person's name. Also, bear in mind the first 100 to enter the masjid are all considered first comers. Enthusiasm for offering Jum'ah Salah in the first century. The proof of Islam, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi writes, in the first century, pathways were seen crowded with worshippers on their way to the Jami Masjid, right from the time of Suhoor and after Fajr, with lamps and lanterns in their hands. Every Jum'ah was like Eid. This practice of embarking for Jum'ah Salah early eventually came to a halt. It was then said, the first innovation in Islam was the abandoning of heading to the Jami Masjid early. Regretfully, Muslims do not feel ashamed that Jews go towards their places of worship in the early morning on Saturday and Sunday. Seekers of worldly wealth also go to marketplaces in the early morning to earn money. So why do seekers of the hereafter not compete with such people? Hajj of the poor. As narrated by the companion Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Al Jum'atu Hajjul Masakin. Jum'ah is the Hajj of the needy. It is stated in another narration, Al Jum'atu Hajjul Fuqara. Jum'ah is the Hajj of the poor. Going early to offer Jum'ah Salah is equivalent to Hajj. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, without doubt, a Hajj and Umrah exist for you in every Jum'ah. Your leaving early for Jum'ah Salah is a Hajj, and waiting for Asr afterwards is an Umrah. The reward of Hajj and Umrah. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has said, after Jum'ah Salah, one should remain in the masjid till Asr, and staying until Maghrib is better. It is said, he who offers Jum'ah Salah in a Jame masjid and remains therein until he offers Asr Salah earns the reward of Hajj. He who stays and offers Maghrib Salah earns the reward of both Hajj and Umrah. Any masjid in which Jum'ah Salah is offered is known as a Jame Masjid. Chief of all days. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam explained, Friday is the chief of all days and the greatest in Allah's sight. It is even superior to Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr in his court. It has five particular characteristics. On it, Allah created Adam, sent him to earth, and caused him to pass away. It contains a time in which one will be granted whatever they ask for, provided he does not ask for anything haram. It is the day in which the hour shall be established, i.e. the day of judgment shall fall on a Jum'ah. There is no such angel of close proximity, sky, earth, wind, mountain or sea that does not fear the day of Jum'ah. Animals and their fear of the final day. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, from the morning of Jum'ah until sunrise, there is no creature that does not scream in fear of the day of judgment except mankind and jinn. When prayers are accepted. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam announced, on Jum'ah, there is indeed a certain time. If a Muslim finds it and asks Allah for anything during it, Allah shall certainly grant whatever he asked for. That certain time is very short. Seek it between Asr and Maghrib. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, on Jum'ah, look for the desired period of time after Asr until sunset. Bahari Shariat's author's insight. Maulana Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, there are two strong opinions about the period of time in which prayers are fulfilled during Jum'ah. The first opinion is that it is the time from when the Imam sits to deliver a sermon until the end of Salah, whilst the second describes it to be Jumu'ah's final moments. A parable. Lady Fatima al-Zahra radiyallahu anha would sit in her room at that time and ask her maid, Fida radiyallahu anha, to stand outside. The latter would inform her as to when the sun began to set. Lady Fatima would then raise her hands in dua. It is preferred for one to make a comprehensive dua at that time, such as رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. O our Lord, give us good in the world and also good in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of hell. One can also recite Salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam with the intention of dua, as this is a brilliant dua in of itself. 14,400,000 released from hell every Jum'ah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, there are 24 hours in the day and night of Jum'ah. There is not a single such hour in which Allah does not release 600,000 people from hellfire upon whom hellfire had previously become binding. Safety from punishment in the grave. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, he who dies during the day or night of Jum'ah, either night between Thursday and Friday, shall be saved from the grave's punishment. He shall also be resurrected on the day of judgment with the seal of martyrs embossed upon him. Sins between two Jum'ahs being forgiven. The companion Salman Farisi radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "He who bathes on Friday attains the purity he is able to, applies oil to himself, uses any fragrance available at home, then goes to offer salah, does not cause separation between two people by sitting between them, offers salah as much was written for him, and stays silent during the imam's sermon, his sins between that Jumu'ah and the previous are forgiven." Describing Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu. In a display of love, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once declared, "Whoever loves me should love my companions." The hadith previously mentioned was narrated by Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, a renowned companion of the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The technonym of Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu is Abu Abdullah. He was of Persian descent and hailed from the city of Isfahan. He went far and wide in search of the true religion, becoming a wanderer in the process. At first he became Christian and studied Christian literature. He went on to endure many hardships, even being enslaved by some Arabs and sold to Jews. He was also made a muqatib. This refers to slaves who fixed a price for their freedom with their slave owner and who can be freed for a certain cost. The Prophet wasallam himself freed him and paid for his manumission. In all, Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu was kept as a slave by over 10 slave owners until finally acquiring what he sought by reaching the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He could not take part in the battles of Badr and Uhud due to being constrained by the shackles of slavery at the time. He later gained freedom in return for 300 date palm trees and 40 uqya of silver. As befitting a true mujahid, he took part in every ghazwa thereafter. During the Battle of the Trench, it was he who suggested a trench be dug. His eminent status. The companion Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu had intense love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Most of his time was spent in the prophetic court, reaping the blessings that effused from the prophetic presence. He was awarded for this with the hadith, "Salmanu minna ahlal bayt." Salman is from our ahlal bayt. Further glad tidings were conveyed to him when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Paradise yearns for Salman al-Farisi." Unique parable of simplicity. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam passed away, Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu remained in Medina for some time. During the caliphate of Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he moved to Iraq. Umar bin al-Khattab eventually appointed him governor of Madain. Despite this high-ranking station, he lived a simple life. As he once passed through a marketplace in Madain, a person who did not know him thought he was a labourer and asked him to carry his luggage. The great companion picked up the luggage and followed the person silently. As people saw this, they exclaimed, "O companion of the messenger, why are you carrying this burden? Let us carry it. Give this to us." The owner of the luggage was taken aback and embarrassed. He apologized to Salman al-Farisi and humbly asked for the companion to put down the luggage. "I intended to carry your luggage," Salman al-Farsi replied. "Now I will not rest until I have taken it to your home," distributing his entire salary to the needy. The companion Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu loved to spend wealth in the path of Allah. He received 4,000 or 5,000 dirhams as salary. Yet he distributed all of this amongst the needy. He would earn separately by making baskets from the leaves of date palm trees and lived off the income from this. May Allah have mercy on him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Reward for 200 years of worship. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Whoever bathes on Jumu'ah has their sins and mistakes erased. When they begin walking, 20 virtues are written for his every step." In another narration, it states, 20 years of deeds are written for every step, and when they finish Salah, they attain the reward of 200 years worth. Deeds presented to deceased parents every Jumu'ah. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam explained, "Deeds are presented in the court of Allah every Monday and Thursday, and to the prophets and one's parents every Jumu'ah. They, i.e. the parents, become overjoyed upon seeing good deeds, and their faces begin to shine further. So fear Allah and do not distress your deceased with your sins." 5 particular deeds on Friday. As narrated by the companion Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, the final prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "He who performs 5 particular deeds in a day shall be written as a resident of paradise by Allah. These 5 deeds are visiting a sick person, attending a funeral, fasting, offering Jumu'ah Salah, and freeing a slave." Paradise becomes wajib. The companion Abu Umama radiallahu anhu narrates that the final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Paradise becomes wajib for whoever offers Jumu'ah Salah, fasted that day, visited the sick, participated in someone's funeral, and took part in a nikah. Avoid fasting on Jumu'ah by itself. It is minorly disliked, i.e. makruh tanzihi, to fast specifically on Friday or Saturday alone. If Friday or Saturday fall on any special date, such as the 15th of Shaban or 27th of Rajab, etc., it is not disliked in this case." The final prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, said, "Jumu'ah is a day of Eid for you. Do not fast on this day unless you also fast before or after it, equivalent to fasting for 10,000 years. The reviver of Islam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi, elucidates, narrations say fasting on Thursday and Jumu'ah or Jumu'ah and Saturday is equivalent to fasting for 10,000 years. When is it disliked to fast on Jumu'ah? To fast on Jumu'ah is not always disliked. It is only disliked when Jumu'ah is specified for fasting in particular." Here is a question and answer extracted from page 559 of Fatawa Razaviyah's 10th volume, discussing when fasting on Jumu'ah is disliked. Question: what do scholars of Islam say about fasting on Jumu'ah? A person was fasting on Jumu'ah when another approached him and said, "Jumu'ah is Eid for Muslims. It is disliked to fast this day." The person was then forced to break his fast after insistence. Answer. If someone fasts on Jum'ah while specifically singling out that day to fast on, this is disliked. Yet, this form of dislike does not entail the fast to be annulled. If this intention of specifying Jum'ah in particular to fast on is not present, there is no dislike at all. If the objecting person is unaware of the disliked intention, his objection is a foolish act altogether. For him to force someone to break their fast is a severe crime against Sharia, even if he knew the intricacies of this issue. Merely mentioning the ruling is sufficient. There is no need at all to force the fasting person into breaking his fast, and that too in the afternoon, when it is not authorized for anyone to do this except one's parents, provided the fast is supererogatory. The person who broke his fast and the other who forced him into doing so are both sinners. The latter must make up the fast. No expiation is required, however. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. The sunnah and its effects. To increase your passion to perform virtuous deeds on the day of Jum'ah and to build your enthusiasm for reciting salats and salam upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in abundance, stay affiliated with the Islamic environment of Dawat-e-Islami. An amazing story is now enclosed here for the listener's encouragement. Before joining Dawat-e-Islami, a young man living in Dharki Ghotki district, Sindh, was living a directionless life. He chased after women and listened to music day and night. Any words of advice his family pleaded with had no effect on him. While sat with his friends one day, he heard a voice reciting poetry in praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Yearning to hear more, he followed the voice and found himself in a Naat gathering. He saw an Islamic brother reciting, dressed in white, bearded with sunnah-inspired long hair, an imama on his head and a white shawl over himself. This sight moved him like nothing had before. "What kind of life am I living?" he asked himself. "These people are truly living. They follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam out of complete love for him." Right then and there, he made a firm intention to begin offering salah and practically implemented this immediately. Later, an acquaintance of his motivated him to attend the itikaf organized by Dawat-e-Islami in the month of Ramadan. Already impressed by the Islamic brothers, he agreed right away. During itikaf, certain couplets were recited, which discussed accountability in the hereafter and punishment. This shook him to his core and left him in tears. After Asr, a speech was given about the hereafter, emblazoning his sentiments and feelings even further. He repented from his previous sins, adorned his face with a beard, grew his hair in accordance with the sunnah, and began wearing an imama. Alhamdulillah, after itikaf, he began calling at Fajr time to awaken Islamic brothers and sisters for prayer, an action known as Sadai Madina in Dawat-e-Islami's terminology. He also received a position of responsibility in Dawat-e-Islami's Islamic activities. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Reward for visiting parents' graves on Jum'ah. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, "He who visits the grave of one or both his parents every Jum'ah, Allah shall forgive his sins. He shall be recorded as someone who treats his parents well." reciting Surah Yasin beside the graves of one's parents. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, he who visits the grave of one or both of his parents on Jumu'ah and recites Surah Yasin nearby will be forgiven. Forgiveness 3,000 times. Allah's final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam beautifully declared, he who visits the graves of both or one of his parents every Jumu'ah and recites Yasin thereupon shall be granted forgiveness by Allah equivalent to the total number of letters in Yasin itself. Dear Islamic brothers, someone who visits the grave of his parents and recites Surah Yasin will be successful in both worlds, even if they visit just one of them. Alhamdulillah, there are 5 ruku, 83 verses, 729 words, and around 3,000 letters in Surah Yasin. The reward of forgiveness can be attained 3,000 times over, inshaAllah. One who recites Surah Yasin on Friday will be forgiven. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, he who recites Surah Yasin during the night of Jumu'ah, i.e. the night between Thursday and Jumu'ah, will be forgiven. Gathering of souls. As souls gather on Jumu'ah, one should visit graves on this day. Hellfire is also not ignited during it. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi says, the best time to visit graves is after Fajr Salah on Jumu'ah. Reciting Surah Al-Kahf on Jumu'ah. The companion Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma narrates that the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, whoever recites Surah Al-Kahf on Jumu'ah, light will emanate from their foot up to the sky, which shall shine for them on the day of judgment. The sins they committed between two Jumu'ahs will also be forgiven. Light between two Jumu'ahs. The companion Abu Sa'id radiyallahu anhu relates that the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam announced, whoever recites Surah Al-Kahf on Jumu'ah will have a light illuminated for them between two Jumu'ahs. Light up to the Kaaba. In another hadith it states, for the one who recites Surah Al-Kahf on Jumu'ah, the night between Thursday and Jumu'ah, a light reaching the Kaaba will shine from where they are. Excellence of Surah Dukhan. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam mentioned, Allah shall make a house in paradise for whoever recites Surah Dukhan on Jumu'ah or its night. Another similar hadith says the reciter will be forgiven. Forgiveness sought by 70,000 angels. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, whoever recites Surah Dukhan at night, 70,000 angels will seek forgiveness for them until morning. Seeking forgiveness before Jumu'ah's Fajr. Allah's final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, whoever recites Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa wa atubu ilayh 3 times before Jumu'ah's Fajr Salah shall be forgiven for their sins, even if they exceed the foam of the sea. What to do after Jumu'ah Salah? Allah has said in the 10th verse of Surah Jumu'ah, Juz 28, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Then when Salah is completed, so disperse in the land and seek Allah's benevolence, the lawful sustenance, and abundantly remember Allah in the hope of attaining success. Commenting on the above verse, Sayyid Naimuddin Al-Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes on page 1025 of Tafsir-e Khazain, now after offering Jumu'ah Salah, it is permissible for you to occupy yourselves in your job or to earn reward by acquiring religious knowledge, visiting the sick, attending funerals, visiting scholars, or performing other similar righteous deeds. What to do for Jumu'ah? The recommended, i.e. mustahab acts of Jumu'ah include leaving to offer Jumu'ah Salah in its earlier time, using miswak, wearing fine and white clothing, applying oil and fragrance, and sitting in the first row. Taking a bath, i.e. ghusl, is sunnah. When to bathe on Jumu'ah? Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Rahmatullahi Alayhi comments, some scholars, rahimahumullah, say bathing on Jumu'ah is a sunnah for Jumu'ah Salah, not the day itself. Bathing on Jumu'ah is not sunnah for those upon whom Jumu'ah Salah is not obligatory. Scholars also say one should bathe near the time of Jumu'ah Salah so that Salah is offered with the same wudu made during the bathing. The strongest opinion states the time of Jumu'ah's bathing begins from Fajr. The above details show bathing on Jumu'ah is not sunnah for women, travelers, or anyone upon whom Jumu'ah is not wajib. If there are people for whom Salah is obligatory, but Jumu'ah Salah is not due to a valid reason legislated by Sharia, they are still not exempted from offering Zuhr Salah. Bathing on Jumu'ah, a non-emphasized sunnah. The scholar and jurist Ibn Abidin al-Shami rahmatullahi alayhi has said, performing ghusl for Jumu'ah Salah is from the Sunan Zawaid, Sunan Ghairi Mu'akkada, i.e. non-emphasized sunnah. He who does not perform it will not be subject to reprimand. Sitting close to the Imam during the sermon. As narrated by the companion Samura bin Jundub radiyallahu anhu, the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, attend the sermon and sit near the Imam. For the further away a person keeps himself, the further he will be left behind in paradise, although he shall certainly enter it. Being left behind in paradise means entering it later than others or having a lower rank within it. Who earns no reward for Jumu'ah Salah? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, someone who speaks on Jumu'ah when the Imam is delivering a sermon is like a donkey carrying books. At that time, he who says, keep quiet, will not be granted reward for Jumu'ah Salah. Listening to the sermon silently is obligatory. Things that are forbidden during Salah, such as eating, drinking, giving salam, or replying to it, and even Amrum bil ma'roof, i.e. ordaining good, are impermissible during the sermon as well. Yet the sermon giver can ordain good and call to righteousness. It is obligatory for all attendees to listen and to remain silent whilst the sermon is being delivered. Staying silent is necessary even for those present who are so far away from the Imam that they cannot hear the sermon. If someone is seen committing any misdeed, he may be prevented either by gesture with the hand or the head. Preventing him using the tongue is not permissible. Whilst listening to the sermon, one is not even allowed to recite salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. If the sermon giver mentions the blessed name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam during the sermon, listeners may recite salat in their hearts. To recite salat upon the Prophet verbally at that time is not allowed. Likewise, saying radiyallahu anhum is not allowed after listening to the blessed names of the companions mentioned during the sermon. Even listening to a marriage sermon is wajib. In addition to the sermon delivered for Jumu'ah Salah, it is also wajib to listen to other sermons, such as the ones delivered for Eid prayer or marriage, etc. Business must stop with the first azan. As soon as the first azan is called, it is wajib to make effort and head for Jumu'ah Salah. It is also wajib to give up trading, business and other activities that negate the effort of going for Jumu'ah Salah. Similarly, sale and purchase whilst going to the masjid are also impermissible, and business in the masjid is a severe sin. If a meal is placed before someone, yet they hear the Jumu'ah Salah and fear they may miss the prayer entirely if they ate, they must avoid eating and leave for Salah. One should go to the masjid in a calm and dignified manner. In our time, many are distant from Islamic knowledge. Despite the sermon being a significant act of worship, many make mistakes or sin during it. This rings true for other acts of worship also. As a request before sitting on the pulpit and before the azan of the sermon giver should make the following announcements every Jumu'ah and earn great reward. Seven pearls of wisdom concerning the sermon. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, "Whoever steps over the necks of the people on Jumu'ah has made a bridge to hellfire." One meaning of this hadith is people will enter hell whilst climbing over him. To sit facing the sermon giver is a sunnah of the companions radiyallahu anhum. Those sitting in rows to the right or the left side should turn towards the pulpit during the sermon. Pious elders of the Ummah, rahmahumullah, say, one should listen to the sermon in the position one sits in tashahud. He should fold hands during the first sermon and place them on the thighs during the second. Insha'Allah, he will then earn the reward of 2 units of salah. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi adds, when one hears the sacred name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam during the sermon, he should recite salat in his heart, as it is obligatory to remain silent during that time. It is stated in Durr al-Mukhtar, during the sermon, eating, drinking, talking, saying subhanallah, replying to someone's salam, and mentioning a word of virtue are all impermissible. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi also explained, walking during the sermon is haram. Islamic scholars rahmatullahi alayhim even say that if someone enters the masjid during the sermon, he should stop wherever he is without proceeding. Walking would be an action, and no action is permissible during the sermon. The great Imam also said, during the sermon, even turning the head to look elsewhere is haram. How he joined Dawat-e-Islami. To gain blessings from every Jumu'ah and build the habit of reciting the Qur'an on that blessed day, always stay affiliated with the Islamic environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Before joining Dawat-e-Islami, a young man from Wakant had a mobile addiction. Like many other young men, he used to listen to songs and watch movies on his phone. He spent his nights out late with his friends, and as a result of sleeping late, he would get up very late, missing Fajr Salah and others in the process. His father had died and his mother tried to give him positive advice, but this would have no effect on him. Some Islamic brothers of Dawat-e-Islami lived in his neighborhood. They invited him to take part in itikaf at the local Fizane Medina. They encouraged him to come, saying he could learn how to offer salah and read the Quran correctly. He completed his itikaf, and by the time he returned, he had repented of his sins. Alhamdulillah. He began offering salah and became loyally devoted to serving his mother. He currently oversees Dawat-e-Islami's Islamic activities in a position of responsibility. What weakens the body? Doctors say these things weaken the body: excessive stress and worry, drinking large quantities of water in the morning without consuming anything else. Drinking a little water on occasions is not harmful, and eating sour things in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.